I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Words and actions. That's what we're going to talk about today here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. So welcome aboard, everybody. Lieutenant Joe here. You know, I've said before, words mean things. The words we use determine a lot of outcomes. It also causes people to act in certain ways, the things that we say. I always talk about in my class in interview interrogation when I teach law enforcement officers, and I say words mean things. You remember back in the day, there was a president we had named Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton said an important thing, and I remember saying, depends on what the word is. And when he said that, he was parsing his actions down to one tiny little word with two letters in it. If is meant one thing over here, then he was a guy who should be removed from the most powerful position on earth. If is meant something over here on this side, then he was just a guy who did something stupid and maybe we can move on from there. So words are very important. Sometimes more important than that are our actions, because 80% of communication between humans is body language. So let's look at that. You know, we have things that people do, their behaviors are what gets them in trouble. Later on in segment three, we have an interview with a young lady, an actress named Marisa Joy. And Marisa Joy is going to tell us about her movies and things that are going on, but she's also been on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about the shooting in Parkland, Florida. Well, today we're going to have a little bit of a conversation follow-up with her, but she also brought up a great topic that I've asked her to come back and speak about, and that's sexual assault, concerns and fears about that. And one of the things that you're going to hear her say later on is she talks about personal space and how people invade other people's personal space. So that's an action. That's an action that somebody gets involved in. Now we look at people like Harvey Weinstein. Right, he just was indicted by a grand jury in New York because he was taking advantage of people. He was taking advantage of these women who were coming to him to make movies or whatever, and I'm trying to connect the two segments here with that. But he invaded people's space, he got in their space, and sexually assaulted them. Now, of course, there's going to be a trial. He's been indicted for that, but there'll be a trial, and they'll determine exactly what happened. But it's our behaviors that we get involved in. So let's look at the most recent controversies that we've had with people say and do. And the big question comes up, is there a difference? Does it make a difference in who says what? Okay, so I'm on the radio here and I'm talking to you, we're having a nice conversation. If I was to say something outrageous, in a negative way about somebody or a group of people, I am pretty sure that I understand what would happen. The powers that be at the America Out Loud Network would say, Lieutenant Joe, we can't have any part of a commentary like that. We can't be associated with anybody like that. And you have to go. But you know what? I know that in advance. In law enforcement, when I spent time in law enforcement, I spent my career there, I knew that what I said was important. If I said the wrong thing to a citizen, that would be a big problem. So I always had to be conscious of what I said and what I did. Well, I don't know that everyone does that. So when I look and I see what people have said about the president, President Trump, what people say about his wife, Melania, what they've said about his daughter, his son, his family, his friends, and even about his supporters, it's disgusting, the things that people say. And then we have somebody like this comedian who said the other day, called Ivanka the C word. Now that's horrible. That's a terrible, disgusting thing to say about somebody. And they say, oh, is it free speech? Is it not free speech? It was degrading. It was nasty. And she basically just apologized and got away with it. Nothing happened to her. Roseanne Barr, on the other hand, said something equally disgusting, equally horrible, maybe even worse. You know, comparing people like that, using words and references that are inherently painful and disgusting to other people is not something you can be associated with. So I tell ABC, you know, they have every right to hire and fire whoever they want. They're a private company. So, you know, the fact that they canceled her show was a huge punishment. The background story there, if people are trying to ask, is what if Roseanne had not been a supporter of President Trump? What if Roseanne had been a big Hillary person and had said the exact same thing? Would she have been admonished but got to keep her show? Or would they have canceled her show as well? So I guess the question is there a double standard for people on the left? Do they get to say and do things that if you were on the right political spectrum, you would be asked to remove yourself from your job or your position or whatever? I have to say that it seems very clear to me from the evidence we've seen over the years that that's absolutely true. There is truth there. And one of the reasons there's truth is that when somebody on the right says something offensive and disgusting, many of the people on the right will call for them to leave or will denounce them or put them down or find what they said and did objectionable and distance themselves from the person and the remarks. When the people on the left do the same thing, when they say something disgusting, we seem to see that they will circle the wagons around that person. They will make excuses for that person. They will come up with every reason in the world why that person was just making a joke, that person's a comedian, that person didn't mean anything by it, that person was distracted, they had a toe fungus that day and they didn't mean to say it, anything in the world. And then the rest of the media, the liberal media, will follow suit with that and give that person basically a pass. The person might come out and make a half-hearted apology, like we saw that comedian that said that horrible thing about Ivanka. She came out and said, oh, I shouldn't have said it, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it, whatever she said. And that's pretty much the end of it. There is no follow-up. There's no immediate canceling of her show. There is no screaming and hollering in the streets or whatever. And I think when I review all that, what that says to me is that that lessens the impact of these horrible things that are said. When it only goes one way, then you know it, there's nothing real to it. There's no justice to that. Now, I'm not a proponent of people getting fired for something that they say. That's not my call. That's a call of the individual company. And for us as Americans, if we don't like something somebody says or does, and they're out in the public market, we have a great way to show our disfavor or our displeasure. We don't buy the product. We don't go see the movie. We don't listen to the radio show. Whatever it is, we can vote with our pockets. If the company that produces those things decides that they don't want it there or associate, they have every right to get rid of the person. In the private sector, if you are working for a company, all right, and a big thing in law enforcement is social media. So social media is kind of a new phenomenon in the last 10 years or so, but you'll see these young police officers that will go out and say things on social media that are inappropriate. Now, not racist things, nothing like that. They'll go out and they'll show themselves having a great time over the weekend. Maybe they're drinking, maybe they're doing other things that are maybe not appropriate that you would think for law enforcement, and it's on social media. Well, you can be held accountable for that. As law enforcement, you're basically on duty 24 hours a day, even though you only get paid for 8 hours a day. There's usually in most of the contracts in law enforcement, there's a clause in there that you can't do anything that brings disrepute on the agency. So if you're out there with all your friends and you're drinking like a fool and you're all drunk and you're doing something stupid, you're driving your car or whatever, that brings disrepute on the agency as well as the officer, and it hurts law enforcement in general. So you see officers starting to get fired for these kind of things. And people say, well, wait a minute, is that right? Well, we know there's an anti-police bias this day, so people, anytime a cop gets in trouble, people are thrilled to see that something happened to him. But the point is that, what we do and what we say is important. Words mean things. Our actions mean things. In a private company, now say you got company A, and company A makes widgets, and they sell a lot of widgets. Matter of fact, they sell millions of widgets, and the owner of company A is a multi-million dollar widget man. And he has 500 employees. And 100 of those employees go out and start marching for some cause that the owner finds something he doesn't like, doesn't care. I'm not going to say what it is, just anything. He doesn't like the cause that these 100 employees are marching for. And he feels that damages his company. Because if people see those people, don't they work for Mr. Widget Company? Company A? Gee, those people believe in that? Then they think the company must believe in it. and that damages the company. So you can see where people there might get fired. Private sector is different than the public sector. But the bottom line is how we conduct ourselves is very important. And again, I'll reference in our third segment today, we're going to hear from the actress Marisa Joy. And one of the things that she said to me in the green room today when we were getting ready, before she comes on later, is she said, what happens for women that maybe men don't really understand is that when men think that they're being funny, when they think that their flirting is funny, when they think that their conversations with women are going to excite them to the point that they're going to be interested in them, women don't often see it that way. They see it as boorish. They see it as uncomfortable. They see it as invading their space. I mean, she gave a great example to me when I asked her if she could give an example. There was some customer in a store where she was working one time, and they were having a conversation. He was going on and on and on about how now he's divorced and he's free to do what he wants to do, and he likes younger women. And he was obviously trying to get some attention from Marisa, and she found it uncomfortable. She didn't like it. Well, he kept getting into her space, and at one point when he was going to leave, he reached out and rubbed her shoulder, like, "Hey, I'll be back another time and talk to you." Completely inappropriate. But if we look around, we do see that a lot of times. We do see men get into that that space of another person, especially a woman, because they think it's endearing, or they think they're welcome into that spot. And we all try and I'm trying to put this in the proper way. When you're trying to find somebody that you like, you're looking for them cues that say, hey, they like me. Can I touch their hand? Can I hold their hand? You're going out with somebody, you're going to dinner. At the end, you're trying to figure out, do you give this person a kiss goodnight? Is that appropriate or is that not appropriate? So you're looking for those cues. How many programs do you see out there of how to read other people? One of the things I do as an interviewer is that I read the body language of other people to tell me, am I making headway with this person? Does the person like me? Do they find what I'm saying to be good? Are they feeling confident that I'm being truthful with them? So I think her points are really good, so much so that we only got into it in a little bit, but I think you'll find her comments interesting. I want to have her back, maybe with another one of her friends, and maybe even a couple of fellas to come on and talk about it and see, what are the differences in these thoughts and why do people think the way they think? Are they misinterpreting? Or are the guys just going too far? Now, in 2018, I have to say that can be for anybody. Doesn't matter. If you're a guy or a girl and you're trying to make time with somebody and you step over the line, it's inappropriate no matter who does it. And I find that to be something that's never talked about. We always think of guys doing that because sometimes guys are stupid and they don't get it and they go too far. I've seen it. I've probably done it myself. Most people have. When you're out there looking for dates and you're looking to go out with people that you like, you say things that you shouldn't have said or whatever. No, it doesn't have to be horrible, but sometimes you look back and you go, gee, I wish I shouldn't have said that. And when you add alcohol to the picture, of course it can be worse. But women do this also. There's no doubt about it. I've seen, and I don't want to say where I've seen it, but I have seen in the workplace when there was a woman who, she was looking for dates herself, and she was talking to all the men in the office. She got into their space. She touched them inappropriately. She was constantly making comments about her clothing. Look at this, what I'm wearing today. Don't you think that's sexy? Don't you think that's nice? And as strange as you would think that guys wouldn't think that that was offensive, they did. What is she doing that? That's weird. That makes me feel uncomfortable. Why would she come over and, sit next to me like that? She would sit on people's laps. It was really strange. And so you kind of get that feeling. You can only imagine that women go through this all the time. Let's look back in history. And, that TV show that was on there for a while, Mad Men, was the 60s. And you saw what went on in the office, and a girl would walk by and a guy would, pat her on the butt. Who says you can do that? Who says you can touch anybody's body like that? That's ridiculous, but that was kind of commonplace. Catcalling, girls walking by and you're whistling at them and saying things to them. I think we're much more enlightened today to realize how uncomfortable that really can be. While you might think you're just saying something complimentary, it depends on how it's said. Depends the context that it's said. Are you saying it in a room full of people where the person you're saying it to feels like they're not under attack? Or are you saying it when you're alone with the person where now they feel so uncomfortable because maybe something else is going to happen? So I find that really to be the crux of the whole argument, is words mean things, our actions mean things, and how we interact with each other. So is there a double standard? If you're on the left and you say something, do you get away with it? If you're on the right, do you say something and not get away with it? Is that appropriate? Okay, first of all, just for fairness and justice, it's not fair. We should all live by the same rules. If you say something inappropriate, there should be consequences for it. It's trying to tell us, don't be inappropriate. Think about what you're going to say. Just like myself and millions of other cops out there, you go on a call, you have to be careful what you say to people, because it doesn't matter your own personal opinion. You're a law enforcement officer, you're a professional. Well, we're all out there in the world. We all have to watch what we say to each other. And I think this whole movement that's going on now helps us all to kind of see it from somebody else's point of view, maybe. Maybe it's not the most appropriate thing that we're saying to somebody. So I'm going to ask you to give that a little bit of thought. Make sure we're watching what we're doing, because words mean things. Actions mean things. Let's respect each other. All right. If you like somebody, why don't you try, instead of saying something disgusting to them that you think is going to be titillating and excite them, why don't you say, you know what, I think you're a really nice person, I think you're attractive, and I'd like to go to dinner with you, as opposed to saying something stupid. Just my advice here on Chasing Justice, the America Out Loud Radio Network. So for a second, let's talk about who's helping bring this show to you. A+ Technology and Security. They are a leader in safety and security products, electronics, equipment, you name it. A+ Technology has everything. I'm telling you, go look them up online, aplustechnology.com. Take a look at what they have. They have a virtual tour on their website. You can see their facility. They have all kinds of door locks, visitor management, emergency notifications, you name it, they have it, and their partners have everything else ancillary to it. They're fantastic. aplustechnology.com. Blue Magazine. Probably one of the best all-around law enforcement magazines I've ever read. And I've written for lots of them. And that's how I got involved with Blue Magazine, is I wrote some articles. And when I see what goes in there, the perspective of law enforcement, of the cops that write for the magazine and the people that write for the magazine, they're really giving you an inside scoop into what goes on in law enforcement, so you kind of get a pretty good idea of things. All right, MCON IT is another one of our great sponsors. MCON IT is a third-party provider of internet data recovery and storage. Absolutely tremendous people over there. If you ever need anything in that area, you have a question, your company's growing and your IT is changing, MCON IT, EMCONIT.com. Give them a call, check it out. All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Today we have the fellas in the neighborhood, and we're going to talk about some of these topics, about getting along with other people, how words mean things. Our actions are important. See you in a few minutes with the neighborhood.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, here we are at round two, a little neighborhood action. The Jersey boys invite in one of the Jersey girls here. We have Kathy with us today to get a little female perspective, so it's not just a bunch of dopey guys sitting around talking. So today, here we go. We got Jack Patterson here. Jack is our American man. Jack works hard every single day. He is what America is good about. We also got Mr. Bill here. Bill is our voice of reason. Bill is our guy that brings us perspective and brings us love. We got Jim.
The contrarian.
Jim is the contrarian. I could say up, Jimmy will say down. But he's always got a good point. He brings a lot of stuff to us. And we're going to welcome into the neighborhood. Hello, Kathy. How are you? We're going to bring in Kathy today, and she's going to bring us the female perspective, which means we're going to find out we're all wrong about stuff, and she's going to set us straight, because that's usually how it works out. Okay. So in our opening today, we talked about words and actions mean things.
And when I talked about that is that, you know, words, we communicate with each other in various ways, but 80% of human communication is body language. So what we do, how we go to other people's space, that kind of thing. So when we're looking around and we're seeing what's going on, we see there's some things that went on this week where people say things in the media. So words mean things. I talked about Bill Clinton when he used the word is. Anybody remember that? When he parsed that word is? Depends on what is. You know, he's trying to lead us down a different path. So this week, Roseanne had her TV show canceled because she came out and said that what I'm going to tell you is absolutely some disgusting things. We do not put people in those kind of positions. You can't compare people to things that bother them in groups of people. You don't talk about mafiosos to Italian people. I'm Italian. I don't want to hear about the mafioso. I heard it my whole life. Are there Italian people in the mob? Of course there are, but I didn't want to hear it about me and my family. So I understand why other groups don't want to hear those negative stereotypes. All right. So anybody got an opinion on Roseanne, Jack? I think you were saying something earlier.
You know, when this all broke, I was... I can't defend Roseanne for what she said. It's vulgar. It's disgusting. Her performances in the past, such as the singing in the national anthem and destroying it, thinking that that was funny also, I can't defend this woman. Now, we had Samantha Bee came out later on in the week and also said some vulgar things about one of Trump's daughters. Now, for her to come out and say that is a little different than what Roseanne had done. When Samantha Bee came out and said these things, these were premeditated, meaning only that she had written this down, she had thought about this, and it was on the teleprompter, and she read it. Now, this is purely premeditated for her to say such a vulgar thing about somebody she shouldn't have said.
And for people that don't know what was said out there, Samantha Bee, the comedian on her show, she came out and said, she called Trump's daughter the C word. Now, in America, we have all these words that we can't say, but we refer to them by the letter. You can't say the N word, you can't say the C word. And I guess each year we're going to add different words to that list. But she came out and said that was a disgusting thing to say. That's an attack on women. I know women hate that word.
Absolutely. And for her to come out and say that about somebody that she really doesn't even know was just awful. I have an understanding, and I'm not sure that this is true, or it may not be true any longer, that she's actually a Canadian. Well, welcome to America and freedom of speech.
Right.
But that's not the way we want you to use
right.
it.
Right. Now, Kathy, you're new to the group here, but let me ask you. I know women hate that word, the C word. What is so negative about that word? I mean, guys throw it around. When we were younger, I know we did, but it's been taken on that really do not use that word type of a thing.
Well, it's reducing women to the body part that men want to use for their own pleasure. So you're calling us by this and reducing us just to
right.
that.
And it's also a very coarse word,
and
isn't
it? And it is coarse. It's
it don't even sound, you know, nice.
It
sounds hard and disgusting, and I kind of get it. Now, do you think anybody that it makes a difference if somebody on the left says something hard and disgusting like that as opposed to somebody on the right? So there's our two examples. Roseanne said something. Her show got canceled. This other woman, this Samantha Bee, says something, and she gets to apologize and just walk away. Is that right, Jim? Is there any justice in that?
No, but I can tell you this. I think we're hypersensitized in this country. What both women said was, yeah, awful. La-di-da, who cares? Does it really matter?
Well, I think what Roseanne said spoke to prejudices in this country. I think she directed that at the woman's color. And that is the height of vulgarity.
You think?
I believe that's true.
Now you're supposing what people are thinking. Yes, it could, the connotation, yes, has a racial undertone. I would agree. But we're still now interjecting your opinion of what they think, their motive. And this is the problem, I think, in the country. Samantha Bee, on the other hand, that was an obvious vulgar statement meant to get a reaction, a negative reaction, actually a positive reaction from the left side of the
which they aisle. Did. You hear them howling and cheering. They thought it was really great.
They thought it was funny.
But if somebody else had said that the other way around, could you imagine if somebody said that about Michelle Obama? The whole world
I've
would
never
go crazy.
Heard that word in the public 20 years ago.
No, you never heard? No.
I mean, I never heard any of these words in the public 20 years ago. I can't believe it.
Billy, you have any input here?
I don't even want to go there for some of the vulgarity that in the media today is just over the top. For the things that Samantha Bee said, I don't even want to give her 2 seconds of airtime to even talk about it.
Well, that's good. So why do you think people on the left can say these things and get away with it? That's when somebody on the right says it, they have to leave their job.
Well, that's just it. The media is so biased today that regardless of what anybody says, if they're in the favor of the left, then they're going to get a pass. If they're not in the favor of the, and Trump is the best example, he's getting hammered all the time for no apparent reason. The same thing that Trump says, somebody else on the left says, they get a pass.
Very interesting. But I'll tell you, you have to look at the historical record of this, and I think it's absolutely true. I think people on the right, though, we attack our own when we say something like that because we find it disgusting and vulgar, and we'll call it out. Right? People on the left, they have a tendency to circle the wagons and make excuses for whoever said this. They had a bad day. They didn't really understand it. They didn't mean it. It's a joke. It's just a comedian. But if you say it on the right, you're basically destroyed. Don't we do that to ourselves, Jim?
Well, absolutely. But I think that it's even a broader sense. The media, the left, which is very communistic, I know I'm being redundant, very socialistic, it's their way of trying to control us, the people, mm-hmm. by making things off base. You can't say this. Or if you say this word, automatically you're a racist. Automatically you hate women, misogynist. I don't like it, and that's why people have to get relaxed.
Well, it does keep you from arguing back, doesn't it? If somebody
it does.
You get called a racist, can you go to work on Monday? Does your company want you there?
You get fired.
So you don't say nothing. you don't bring your opinion anywhere in that game, so we never get to actually talk about this. Go ahead, Bill.
This whole thing about our people being able to give their opinions 20 years ago, they'd get a fair shot, whether it was right or left. Now, it's the left seems to be controlling everything except for maybe one news outlet, which mm-hmm. is Fox. They at least give both sides of the story.
And here on the America Out Loud Network, we can all say whatever we want.
Yes, exactly.
But do you think they have a limit also? And I brought that up in my opening piece. If I said something ugly and disgusting, do you think that they would be able to countenance me doing that? I think they would have to say, depending on what it was, thank you very much, Lieutenant Joe, but you got to go. Right? Wouldn't we all kind of, if we can say whatever we want, should we say ugly and disgusting things? Is there a place for that in our discourse? Does that help us?
If there's a reason to bring awareness to what was said or how it was said, the absolute vulgarity of what was said.
I disagree. There's no place for vulgarity, no matter what. No matter what the reason. I mean, you have all sorts of people. You have seniors listening. You have kids listening now. Nowadays, kids get assignments. Listen to the news. That we're going to have a test tomorrow on President Trump or current events. We can't allow vulgarity to find a place in the media for any reason whatsoever.
I agree, and I'm going to say that hurtful things that historically hurt people, we shouldn't be out there saying. We should respect the fact that it bothers people and not say it. Like I'm talking about people talking about Italians. I wish they would knock it off. I'm okay when they talk about it, but I don't like it. So they should stop it. So other groups have the same things.
But what are we doing if it bothers people? Lately, ridiculous things are starting to bother people. Mm-hmm. And now you said we can say whatever we want on this radio show. We can't. We have to be careful not to say something that could be perceived as bothering somebody. And some things, I don't think it's bothersome to people, but automatically they've assumed.
That stops conversation then, doesn't it?
Yes. I think everybody's worried about offending other people. And the more you think about that, the more constricted you're going to be. You're not going to be able to express yourself for anything.
Now, you're all saying two different things. You're saying we don't want to offend anybody,
yes.
and yet we want to be able to say what we want to say.
And that's my point, Kathy.
So you want to be able to say something, but say it in a respectful tone to have the conversation. The conversations need to be had. And when somebody shuts us down, that is not a reason to not have the conversation. That is a reason to to go further, to elicit more, to ask questions.
So you're thinking they're using it to shut you down.
Right.
Oh, it's nice to have a girl in the neighborhood.
Well,
she's got a good point of view.
Very good. It's not what you say, it's your intonation, as you say.
How you say it.
Yeah. I mean, there's two sides of that equation.
All right. Well, I think that's great, and words mean things, and so does what we do in body language. So that's going to bring me to my next topic. All right. In segment three, we have a young actress that I have a nice conversation with. We're going to talk about her movie. It's Marisa Joy. And she had some opinions about the school shootings, which she was on a couple of weeks ago after Parkland, and we talked about that. But one of the topics she brought up that I'm going to bring her back for is this whole thing of body language, personal space, and how do men maybe perceive the pursuit of romance maybe differently than women do. One of the things she brought up is that there's a lot of guys that'll say things to women thinking that that's going to get the woman interested. Like, they think it's flirting, but they'll say sexual things thinking the woman's going to respond to you the way you would respond in your head if a woman came up and said, hey, let's talk about sex. Oh, that's great. Let's do it. Women don't always respond that way. Kathy, we're happy to have you here.
I will tell you right now, I'm fuming. Because women will want to have men look at them in a certain way. They dress a certain way, communicating in their dress how they want to be perceived. Because mm-hmm. their clothing is a communication. Mm-hmm. Then they're vulgar. Women are vulgar today. We have a hookup society. We can have sex together or not have it mean anything. Women have lowered the bar, and the men are responding to the bar they've lowered.
So a woman dressing provocatively, doesn't this harken back to a day back in the time when a woman would be sexually assaulted and say, well, what was she wearing? Well, does that make any difference?
An assault is a different matter.
Okay.
An assault doesn't matter what a woman is wearing. Mm-hmm. A man is a violence, and it doesn't matter at all. You know, old mm-hmm. women get raped. It's not about what they're wearing. But how men treat women... Mm-hmm. will often come from how the women are expecting to be treated. And sure. She can't have a dual purpose here. I want to dress in what I want to dress in, mm-hmm. scantily, with hardly anything on. I'm going to talk in a very vulgar way that I wouldn't want a mm-hmm. girl to talk in. And then they want to have the man not react to that. Well, unless, of course, it's the right man.
It's the right man. So what the right man would be, you know, you're sitting there, Jack, you're a handsome guy. So when you go out and you dress up really nice and you want to go out there, you want to look good to everybody, right? Do you, at the same time, you don't mind when a beautiful woman comes up to you and says, oh, I really like your jacket, you look really good, right? That would make you feel good, wouldn't it?
Right, of course. But
how about if a woman you didn't find attractive comes up to you and wants to start making some time with you? Are you going to treat her the same way, or are you going to feel differently about that?
It's going to be different, much the same as it's going to be for the girl. Mm-hmm. For the man... to know whether or not he is that person mm-hmm. that she is trying to attract, in many instances, the only way to find out is to begin that conversation. Mm-hmm. Granted, a lot of conversations start out ways that they don't want them to start out.
Right. Now, we know as guys that guys say stupid things.
Of course.
We say stupid things to women. Kathy, you're a beautiful woman. You've heard stupid things, right?
Yeah.
What effect does that have when you hear somebody that walks up? Say it's somebody you find attractive. And they say something stupid. Is that different?
It doesn't matter to me whether I find them attractive or not. If it's a stupid thing, it's a stupid thing. But I think my experience, because I'm older, my experience is different than the young girls. Men wouldn't talk to me. And when they did talk to me that, I mean, they'll talk to me, but they're not offensive. Mm-hmm. They're not threatening me. They're not over the line. Mm-hmm. Years ago when I was younger, that wasn't the culture at the time. I think this culture is here, and unfortunately, men are speaking and behaving inappropriately the way women don't want, yet I feel like the women have a responsibility.
So I like your point, though, that you think women have lowered the bar on what's acceptable, and men have just walked up to the bar.
Yeah.
Men always walk up to the bar as far as you're willing to let them go.
Right.
Now, people are going to hate that I said that, but I think it's absolutely true. Women really control the entire relationship thing. The woman allows you to hold her hand, mm-hmm. right? You might want to hold her hand, she'll pull away, you stop, right? Now, women, of course, can want to hold the man's hand. Don't people out there saying that women can't do that. I'm not talking about 1953. But I think as far as the relationship progresses, if it goes beyond hair twirling and talking, that's up to you. Now, I can say stupid stuff, but you might not like that and not respond.
And then I would respond back, that's stupid, and move on.
Right.
You know, I just think it's a cultural thing. I'm not saying that women are at fault when a man is rude. So I'm not saying that. Mm. A young guy comes up, an old, crazy, ugly, weird-looking guy comes up to my daughter and says something sexual. That's not appropriate. I'm just saying that, not that my daughter has done anything to elicit this. I'm saying the culture.
The culture.
The culture has lowered the bar.
It's coarsened. It's gotten ugly. And Jack, you had something. You were trying to get into.
You know, I speak to what Kathy was speaking about as far as what's going on now in comparison to what's gone on in the past. Unfortunately, I have to agree with what Bill was saying earlier. You know, we lose our sense of decency a piece at a time. We don't lose it wholesale. We don't wake up the next morning and we're vulgar pigs.
Absolutely.
One piece at a time, a day at a time, a word that's allowed to be used on radio, a word that's allowed to be used on television, and it's accepted. It becomes part of our vernacular. Mm-hmm, and all of a sudden, it's okay for a seven-year-old to start using vulgar language because it's what he hears every day on the television or on the radio.
So,
and we lose our decency in that manner, one piece at a time. So if I were to approach somebody and use these words to a female, you know, I might be portrayed as vulgar. I might be portrayed as a predator.
Right.
Years ago, on the radio, on TV, no matter what, you couldn't even say the word damn or hell. You know, nowadays, I've heard the C word that we were just talking about being used. I've heard worse language than that, the sure. F word, you know. And it's a matter of you give them, you give the those type of people an inch, and before you know it, they're out there, you know, 10 yards away.
Excellent. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it was nice having Kathy in the neighborhood here. Thank you for joining us. I hope you become more like a regular because it's nice to have the ladies around. They have different points of view. I think sometimes, in my opinion, better points of view, but that's okay. We're all the fellas here having a good time. Thank you very much. And I'm going to tell you about a couple of people. Remember, A-Plus Technology, aplustechnology.com, jpangaro.com. Come take a look. Threat assessments, training for law enforcement, businesses, that's what we do. And Blue Magazine. www.thebluemagazine.com and mcon.com, emcon.com, mcon.it. Look at me, I'm going the wrong way. mconit.com for excellent data recovery stuff. These are all our sponsors. Please give them a call and reach out. And we'll be back to the neighborhood in another day. Thank you very much.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Bing, 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 bing. Welcome to round three of Chasing Justice. This morning, I have somebody I brought back from a previous interview that we had done. A couple weeks ago, we had spoken about the tragic events of school shootings in Parkland. And we had a young man, a freshman in high school, Jack. We also had a senior, Marisa Joy. Well, I brought Marisa Joy back with us this morning. And we're going to talk about a couple of things, some serious things and some interesting things. Because number one, I find her to be a very interesting person. And her opinions are actually pretty well thought out for her age. And I think she has the whole world ahead of her. And I think she'll be a leader as we go down the road. So one of the things that I find very interesting about Marisa Joy is that she's an actress. And you say, oh, an actress. Well, what do you act in? Well, actually, she's done a lot of initial work. And she can talk to you about that. You know, training videos for several different companies. That's actually how I met this young lady. She did some training videos for my company, Pangaro Training. But she's also been in a couple of different movies. So I'd like to introduce you. Good morning, Marisa Joy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming on here on Chasing Justice.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's interesting. I know part of our conversation is going to be about justice in school, and we'll do a little follow-up to the school shooting conversation we had, as well as some other stuff that involves a little bit of justice. But first, let's talk about, you have a movie coming out, don't you?
I do.
And what's the movie about? What's your character? Tell me about it.
So the movie is called Wing Girl, and it's about six women who are aerial maneuver fighters, and they just perform shows, and the government calls them in to do a secret mission.
Secret mission. So these are military pilots, these girls.
Yes, but they're performers, like the Blue Angels, only performers.
All right, so the movie, for all our listeners out there, is called Wing Girl, W-I-N-G-G-I-R-L, Wing Girl. So these are about fighter girls that they're out there. Apparently they're stunt pilots, as
yes,
I understand.
Stunt pilots.
And how do they end up going to combat? What happens there?
So being performers like the Blue Angels, they're known for their aerial maneuvers. And being so advanced in that, they were like the only team that the government saw fit to do all the special maneuvers they had to learn for the mission.
Well, I think they say that actually female pilots can handle greater Gs than the male pilots, or anything to that? Or
yeah, that's what they say.
So then you would have these highly trained pilots. Mm-hmm. They were needed in some kind of a military mission for the American government. Mm-hmm. And they grabbed you girls and said, you're going on this mission.
Out of nowhere, so.
How did you get this part? How did you end up, you know, what's the whole acting thing all about? How long have you been involved in acting? What are you doing?
Well, I've always loved acting since I was young. And then getting the part for Wing Girl was really interesting because we had heard that there was a part open. Mm-hmm. And I went and I auditioned and told them I was turning 18 very soon. Mm-hmm. And I was the youngest girl casted. So they just casted me for the part. I got really lucky.
And what is your part? What's the name of your character and what do you do? And
being the youngest girl on set, they actually made my character the youngest girl in the group of girls because mm-hmm. they just thought it would make sense. And I play a character called Tegan Bear Rossi. Bear is my nickname, not my real
name. Oh, I was
going to
say, Bear, what are you, mountain family? What is that?
No, it's my nickname because my origin is my father was a pilot, a fighter pilot, and he died in combat, but he had given me a little bear to remember him by, so mm-hmm. I always keep that on my character as a cute little quirk, so they call me Bear.
So Bear became your call sign?
Yes.
Okay, so we remember in you know, other movies out there, we see fighter pilots, they have, you know, all these call signs.
Mm-hmm.
Raptor and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, so you got cast in that movie, and what was it like to actually go on scene and film a movie? I mean, we all love movies. People watch movies all the time. What was it like to actually be on set? I mean, how exciting.
It is so interesting being on set because the hours are so long, and I think a lot of people don't realize that it actually is work. So mm-hmm. while it is equal parts fun, you really are there for these crazy hours. Some scenes need to be filmed at night, so the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And it really depends, but it's crazy watching all the technical aspects unfold while I was mm-hmm. part of it. And then watching the clips they're releasing just looks so different from what I experienced.
Sure, right. Well, how was it to learn how to fly the jet? That had to be difficult.
Oh, that was so hard.
Because I've seen
natural.
Some of these clips, and it really looks like you girls are flying those jets.
It does.
Exciting.
That's all because of the great CGI they use and all the different people they brought in to help with that.
That's amazing. Now, this is about military personnel, mm-hmm. which we love our military here
yes.
on Chasing Justice in America Out Loud. So did you meet any military people? Did you go to any bases? I mean, what did you do with the military, if anything?
We did go to a few military bases. We wanted to really get a perspective of the ships that we were going to be filming on. So they let us onto the
USS New Jersey,
yes. That they let us on. That's where we filmed a lot of our scenes. We even got private tours just to see exactly how these men were living when they were on the ship.
Wow. So the USS New Jersey is actually, it's been retired, and it's now docked in Camden, I think.
Yeah, it's docked
and it's
in Camden.
And it's a United States battleship. It was in many battles, World War II, Vietnam,
right.
And you were on there.
Mm-hmm.
And did you film on there or did you just tour it?
Yes, we actually filmed on there, and that was part of the hours, the crazy hours we worked, because we had to film after the ship was closed down for the night.
Mm-hmm.
So we would be there all hours of the night until we leave in the morning, and that's when all the tours would start.
Well, that's interesting. Years and years ago, I took my son Alex when he was a Boy Scout. And a lot of the Boy Scouts go to the USS New Jersey and actually camp overnight, which I found really interesting. They said, we're going to sleep over on the US New Jersey, the USS New Jersey. And we got there, and basically the crew that were there gave us the salute and turned the ship over to us. And they left and locked
that's
up.
Great.
And we were on the ship, and they said, whatever you do, don't go down the stairs. Don't go into the lower parts of the ship. Just stay up on the deck. And we could go to the command center, and that was all really cool. But we heard this banging sound way down in the bottom of the ship, and we didn't know what it was. So, of course, what did we do? We went exploring to see if we could find it, and you could get yourself lost. That is a gigantic ship.
You 100% can. There was this one night where I wasn't in a particular scene, and neither was my friend. So one of the guards who was just staying to help us, he wanted to watch the shooting. He was very interested in it. He offered to give us a private tour. And without him, we would have been stuck in that ship forever.
It'd still be there now.
It's so huge. Yes.
That's great. Now, did you get any perspective on the military people that you did meet in the course of this? I mean, you know, what they do for, you know, for our country? Is it, you know,
what do you think? Oh, for sure. Yeah. Especially even being on the ship just shows you in little ways how it was so cramped. It must have been so uncomfortable. And it shows the level of dedication these people have to have to protect us and to do everything they do for us.
That's
because those circumstances are just so uncomfortable.
Right. It is amazing to see what our men and women in the service, how they live their every single day lives. You know, we all think about boot camp when they go there and they chase you around. But living on that ship, those beds are small.
Every day, yeah. That's quite a sacrifice in itself.
Now, isn't there something to the truth that guys like actually shared bunks? Because one by they would be on duty and then somebody else would be sleeping and then they switch. Did they tell you about that?
Yeah, it was insane. I don't remember the exact number, but how many men were housed in those bunks. But even me fitting in the bunk was difficult, and I'm 5'5". So imagine these very tall, burly men fitting in these small bunks is insane.
So that's great. So Wing Girl is the movie. And when is it coming out? Any idea?
We're hoping that it'll be out as soon as possible. They're thinking the fall right now, which is really good because it's coming at a good time, I think. There's not many other movies like it out right now.
No, there's not. I think, you know, you think, you know, jet fighter movies are limited to some of the ones that we all know and have seen. But the clips I've seen of this, the story is so unique. To see these female pilots, basically, you girls are just regular pilots. You fly airplanes for stunt shows, and now you're in combat.
Yeah, and of course, that presents so many issues because we never thought we'd have to go into combat. So now we have all these young girls who are kind of pushed into this sacrifice.
That's great. And I got to tell you, for everybody out there that's watching, they are a very talented cast. I actually got to see some clips of this because I knew we were going to be interviewing Marisa Joy here. So we got to see some of the clips. Absolutely fantastic photography. It puts you right in the cockpit with these girls. You're flying around. It's exciting. It's thrilling. And the girls are all beautiful young women, which, of course, fighter jets and beautiful girls. Come on, how could you go wrong? So it's a great story, and we're looking forward to that coming out. So thank you for visiting us today.
Great, of course.
Now we can turn a little bit more serious, because I spoke to you once before after the Parkland shooting, and we know how difficult it was for people your age because you actually watched that unfold live on Instagram as those kids that were fighting for their lives were videoing what's going on and they put it out there. Since then, we've had another major school shooting in Santa Fe. And what I did, as you know, as part of my background is that I teach school safety and security. I train law enforcement, I train teachers and everybody. And in speaking with lots and lots of young people, I think I found that Parkland really kind of put a lot of you over the edge where it was a lot of protests going on and it was a lot of things like you were motivated like I had never seen kids before. And I think you made the point in our last interview was that it's not your responsibility to protect you kids. It's our responsibility, the adults, the parents, the police and everybody. And I actually have adopted that wholeheartedly. You're right. It's nothing to do with the kids whatsoever. It is our job. After Santa Fe, though, I think I noticed something. This I'd like your opinion. You know, it was so hard. I don't think we've really gotten over Parkland, what happened there. But then comes Santa Fe. And I don't see the same protesting. I don't see the same people yelling for help. It seems to me, with the kids I've spoken to, they kind of say that it's because now it feels like it's inevitable, that it's going to happen to them. Where before,
you were hoping you could prevent it, but now it feels like it's going to happen. Anything to that?
I definitely think that people are so, it's so disheartening to see it happen over and over again, because between Parkland, there's been multiple shootings, even though only one or two people have gotten hurt. That's still crazy to think about, that that's a possibility. And I definitely know the community, especially the Parkland students who are helping lead the protests, are so supportive of the Santa Fe kids and everyone else. That's still a huge outreach. But I think for everyday teenagers who have been fighting so hard to bring awareness to the issue, it's just very disappointing to see that it's going to continue happening for the foreseeable future.
What do you see as a potential answer to do this? What can we do to keep you safe?
I really think as the adults and as the administration, everyone, it all comes to making sure the school is safe, obviously, which is why it's so important that there's people like you with your jobs who go around and do that, because that's priceless that you're able to do that for schools and children. And also for us young people who are coming of age now, we're turning 18, we're so enraged. The only thing that I think we can really do at this point is be informed about who we're voting for and actually go out and vote people out of office who aren't helping and try to get people in that we want to do something about it.
And that's interesting because, you know, to vote people out, who would you vote out? I don't mean individual candidates, but what positions do these people hold that you would say, somebody new got to come in, what position do you want them to have?
I think especially in Florida, there was such outrage for the council there and for the government, the local government there, for not listening to the students the way they should have been after the shooting. I think it starts with local government and then it'll go up the ladder until you're voting out people who just aren't listening to the kids, who aren't showing up to listen to the Parkland students when they have rallies.
Gotcha. Well, I think, you know, when I look at it from my perspective as someone who does this kind of stuff, I do threat assessments for businesses and schools. I show up and I go and look at the school or the business with the thought, if I was going to attack this facility, how would I do it? And I start that riding right up the road. I look at the neighborhood, the area, how would I approach the school? Then I look for all those vulnerabilities in the school. You know, are the doors open? Shockingly, people still leave doors open. Now, we keep saying that the kids and the children, but you're 18 now. You're not a kid anymore. You're almost 19. So I don't want to say it's your responsibility at all, other than the fact that in many of these schools I go to, I see young people that open the doors when they see another kid their age at the door.
Right.
That's dangerous, because we know the kid in Parkland was a former student, and here he is standing there, and somebody, you know, could have let him in the building.
Right.
And I still see it. I talked to some girls the other day in New York, three high school girls. They were seniors also. And I was asking them about the drills. You know, what do you do for drills? And it was a big school. There was a lot of kids in this high school. And they said, the drills are a joke. And I said, what do you mean the drills are a joke? The teacher seemed to take it serious. They said, they really don't. They tell us ahead of time we're going to have a drill, or they call it a drill. This is a drill, a lockdown drill. And these kids were saying that because you say it's a lockdown drill, everybody knows it's not real. And therefore, kids are on their phone and doing whatever. What do you think?
I think that's definitely true. I also think people are so scared now, especially at my school, just the possibility of a shooting, that we are taking it more seriously, but it's not because we really care about the drill. It's out of fear. And I think that's so sad that kids have to be fearing and letting that motivate them. But for instance, the other day, I wanted to bring this up in my school. A man came to the door and he was knocking on the door. And we go to school on a military base, so we assumed he had worked there. And I just happened to be sitting in the main office waiting to sign out, and a student let him in. And none of the secretaries recognized him, and he started trying to walk through the school.
Really?
And a secretary came up to him and was like, absolutely not. Where do you think you're going? Who are you? And he said that he works on base, but he was locked out of his building. So he was going to try to get in through our building, which happens to be a school. And the secretaries, the principal, the vice principal, they all brought him into the office, and they were like, we'll escort you where you have to go, but you're not going through the school.
Which, I see that so much. I see so many schools out there, and businesses too, that somebody will come up to the door, and they'll make a visual judgment on whether they think this person's safe or not, and they hit the button and let them in, and then they say, what is it you want here? Too late. They're in.
It's too late.
you have to vet people outside the door. You have to secure your door so people can't break the glass and get in. So that's
the training people need. That's the training you do, and that's the training people need to keep us safe.
And that's exactly what I do, Marisa, so that's great. Now, we only have a couple minutes left here. You're heading off to college, and I know I think we actually have a program for a bigger conversation. We're talking about the fear of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And you were saying going off to college, that's a concern as a female. What do you think about that?
I think it's so, again, sad and interesting that all the girls my age who I'm around are nervous to go off to college for specific reasons, but that one in particular. Mm-hmm. Because I see it constantly, which is really hard, but I see it in little ways, at work, I see it.
What do you see?
Men or boys typically feeling entitled to touch girls, to say things that make girls uncomfortable, and that's just in small scale. So I think a lot of us are nervous that when we go off to school and we want to just live our lives, maybe go to a party, hang out with a couple friends, something like that, we're going to be so easily taken advantage of.
So when you're saying that people feel free, or men feel free to touch you, now I know you talk to somebody, you like them, you're interested in them, and you say, hi, how are you? And that's all part of the whole, I guess, the whole dating, mating ritual, is that you want to go over and, you know, you want to touch the people. That's what we do. Human beings are tactile. We want to touch. That feels good. But you're saying they do it inappropriately. Describe something that happens at work that would be like that.
Any time that you go to touch someone, I think you should be very aware whether or not they want you near them. They want you in their space. And I see a lot of the time, even with customers, I will not be inviting them to my personal space. Mm-hmm. And that's almost like a game for these men, mm-hmm. to try to say things to get me closer, to try to make me uncomfortable, to try to touch my hand.
Now, has it happened to you or the other girls too?
I think it's happened to all of us. The other day during my history class, we were talking about it in current events, and my teacher said, raise your hand if at work specifically you've ever felt uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. every girl raised her hand. Which is really sad, just like now on a bigger scale going to college, we mm-hmm. really have to be aware of it.
I think you do. And this is a whole nother conversation. Right. I would ask you to come back mm-hmm. and maybe bring one of your friends with you and let us talk about it. Because this is important. We have to watch out for everybody out there. And this is no joke, sexual assault. So I'm glad you're bringing this up. Hey, fellas, keep to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself. Watch what you're saying. This is people's bodies, not your bodies. Go ahead. You got something else, honey?
You know when a girl wants you to come near her. And if she doesn't, then back away.
Great advice from our actress, Marisa Joy. I want to thank our sponsors, aplustechnology.com, the greatest company I've ever met that has all your safety and security needs electronic-wise. Blue Magazine for law enforcement buddies out there. And Pangaro Training. And we are going over to True Security Solutions. So it's going to be called Pangaro Training and Consulting, and we do threat assessment. So if you need that, give me a call, 732-600-8976. Give us an email, jpangaro@americaoutloud. And until next week, remember, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Thanks for listening to Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.